step up and grab something? Make sure mom doesn't care. Okay? Mom don't care. Hope mom doesn't care. Oh, well, we dropped it. We dropped it. You keep that one too. Add to it. Make sure mom doesn't care.
Mom's all the way over there.
Well, Jim, you might as well hang on because we have special music by you this morning. I was thinking it was going to be Proof, but Mark's on his own, so please welcome Jim with our special music.
I'm going to continue on with the theme of veterans and those who have served and those who are currently serving.
This song is called
The Good Lord and the Man, written by a gentleman who I think was in Nashville, Tennessee. I think John Rich, am I on?
Okay. And it definitely speaks to our veterans. And we're very proud of all of you who have served our country. We couldn't do what we do if it weren't for you. Well, he was one of the millions signed up to defend us long ago in 1941. And when they sucker punched us in Pearl Harbor, he fought under MacArthur 17 with an Army Thompson gun. Well, he stormed a lot of beaches, slept in the jungle with the leeches. He saw things a young man should never see. And when they shot him in the shoulder, he got back up and he marched forward, left a lot of brothers dead in Kawajali. And if it wasn't for the good Lord and the man, there'd never be a breath of freedom in this land. I see people on my TV taking shots at Uncle Sam. I hope they always remember why they came. 'Cause we'd all be speaking German under the flag of Japan if it wasn't for the good Lord and the man. If it wasn't for the good Lord and the man. Well, I'm the grandson of a soldier, and I'd fight the whole world over if duty called and freedom was on the line. And thanks to the greatest generations, the ones still fighting for our nations, I may never have to kill for my way of life. And if it wasn't for the good Lord and the man, there wouldn't be a breath of freedom in this land. And I see people on my TV taking shots at Uncle Sam. I hope we always remember why we came. 'Cause we'd all be speaking German, living under the flag of Japan, if it wasn't for the good Lord and the man. If it wasn't for the good Lord and the man. Well, he was one of the millions who signed up to defend us long ago in 1941. And when they sucker punched us in Pearl Harbor, he fought under MacArthur 17 with an Army Thompson gun. We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Join us for our next community meal on November 18th from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. We'll be serving up turkey, stuffing, green beans, mashed potatoes, and pumpkin pie. It will be a meal full of gratitude and blessings. So please come to Trinity United Methodist Church
at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. And coming up on December 9th, from 4 to 6 p.m., we will be traveling to a night in Bethlehem. Kids and their families will explore the city at the time of Jesus' birth. Through hands-on experiences, they'll find out all about the most important baby ever and learn that he came to save us. So please bring the family to 333 South Chestnut Street and join us in this adventure. And today's radio was sponsored by Dana Cox and myself in memory of her brother, Matt Broomer. Today's scripture reading comes from Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. The day of the Lord. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark, without a ray of brightness. I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Through you bring choice fellowship offerings. I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream.
Word of God for the people of God. Amos, a very short book in the Bible, was a very prophetic book. And this week's lectionary passage, as well as the one that we would have next week, if we didn't have Fred Shaw coming for Native American Ministry Month, are both very prophetic passages that move us forward, which is rightly so. It moves us forward in preparation for the end of the month, the reign of Christ the King. What a wonderful way to transition from one year's lectionary to the next, which begins on December 3rd, where we will be celebrating our centennial celebration. We will be looking at blessed, wonderful memories of the past, and we will be looking at moving forward and continuing to be a beacon of hope and Jesus' hands and feet in our community. Amos had some very strong words in this passage. He told the people, why are you looking so forward to the day of the Lord? Do you not know that that is the day of judgment? And each and every one of us will face judgment day. Each and every one of us will have to answer for the things that we have done that have broken the Lord's heart. But if we have believed in Christ Jesus, not if we've been baptized, not if we gave the correct offering, not if we did lots of good deeds, but if we have believed in Christ Jesus, we will live with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in eternity forever. Yes, we are called to repentance for our sins. We are called to obedience. We are called to the reading of the word and the gathering together as the body of Christ. But to live in eternity, the one thing that we hold on to is whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For me, that's good news because, folks, life is not fair. Don't expect it to be fair. When I was 7 years old, my little brother was born, and my Nana, the one and only person in my life who truly loved me, sat me down and she said, Angie, it's not fair, but you're going to have to keep your mom from burning down the house. You're going to have to raise your brother and sister. and you're going to have to look after things. And she told me, that's not fair. I know that. But if you are prepared for the worst, then when something good happens, it's like gravy. Now, I don't subscribe to that ideology anymore. I believe the good things will happen to us when we look forward to good things happening. Yet, life still happens. Life is not fair. There's a story of an old Irishman when it came his time to pass on. The family gathered around. They called in the priest. And the priest came up to him and he said, O'Reilly, do you repent of all your sins? O'Reilly said, yes, Father, I do. Well, do you turn away from the devil, the evil one, and all of his works? And he said, well, frankly, Father, with the condition I'm in, I'd just as soon not antagonize anyone. Definitely the wrong attitude. But you know, the children of Israel were having a difficult time during Amos's time. The conditions they were in, they could ill afford to antagonize anyone, especially the Lord. But sadly, they did. They were ignorant at times. They were arrogant at times. They believed that because they were the chosen people, that God was supposed to go before them, pave the way, make their path straight, and bless them with everything they needed. God never promised us a rose garden, folks. Life is life. This evil, corrupt world that began at the fall in the garden brings upon us things like cancer, things like loss of a job, things like accidents, all kinds of things. God does not do that to us. But life does. I've heard God won't give you more than you can handle. And that makes me sad because God doesn't give it to us, number one, or at least rarely. There are times he does test us. But number two, life often gives us more than we can handle. I don't know about you, but life has given me a couple of times more than I can handle. And if I believe in my heart that it's God doing it, I'm not going to reach out to him as much. And I'm not going to reach out to other people. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to cling to him. He didn't promise us a rose garden, but he did promise he would never abandon us and never forsake us. He will walk with us each and every day. He weeps when we weep. He feels our suffering in the depth of his spirit. And his Holy Spirit groans in agony for us when we go through trials, tribulations, illness. That day will be darkness, said Amos, not light. It will be as though men fled from a lion only to meet a bear. Though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a failing stream. You see, God doesn't want our burnt offerings, our grain offerings, our blood offerings. God doesn't want our good works. Yes, we are called to tithe and offer, to serve, to spend our time, to serve and worship him. But what God wants most from us is a clean, repentant heart. God wants us to come before him, to kneel, to ask for a contrite and a right spirit. And that is between each and every human being and their God. Life is not fair. The people of Israel thought that they were privileged and no harm would come to them. And when famine and drought and locusts and the ravages of war came, they grumbled and they protested. They claimed that life wasn't fair and that God speaks of justice, but they saw no justice for themselves. Life is not fair. They were right about that. Was life fair to the young mother driving in Detroit who stopped at a stoplight and some guy came up, ripped her door open, snatched her purse, and then, as an afterthought, turned around and shot her in front of her son? No, that wasn't fair. Was life fair to the Olympic athlete who everyone thought would win? This Olympic athlete was then sent to war. I don't know if any of you ever seen the movie Unbroken. Louis Zampini, he went on to war, became a prisoner of war, and later developed PTSD. Life wasn't fair to him. And he was angry with God. When the priest prayed, he said, "God didn't save me. The armed forces did." But he fell on his knees in front of one of the greatest preachers who ever lived, Billy Graham. Fell on his knees by the power of the Holy Spirit in the room, turned his life over to God, and became a living witness and testimony to God for the rest of his life. Life is not fair. The people of Israel turned away from God, broke every commandment that there was, and made a mockery of worship. You know, I believe that the commandments are guardrails, like we see along the highway, a guardrail that protects us from going over. Because our good and gracious God was so merciful that he gave us these commandments. He knew if we lied to one another, if we committed adultery, that we would not only endanger our relationship with him, with our loved ones, but we would harm ourselves. Our God is good. He is more than fair. He is just. He is merciful. And how do we know that God is fair? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to tell us, to be with us, and to share our journey of life. Did he not make a covenant with Abraham, with Noah, and with David? Did he not send Moses to take the bondage from Egypt? Did he not give them manna and something to drink, even though they grumbled night and day? Did he not send his prophet Amos to call people to repentance? The signs of his presence were everywhere. The same signs that are present here with us today. They are here when we pray, when we support one another, when we encourage one another. When I watch you guys after the service go up and hug and love one another, when I see that one of you has called another to see how they are doing, those are signs of God's love working in and through us. All people are our kind of people, not just the ones who do as we do. It is not limited. God's love is not limited to just an elusive few. All people are loved. So says the Gospel of John. Say it with me, beloved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. The New English Version translates the text. that everyone who has faith in him may not die. And beloved, that's it. Yes, we're called to be baptized. It's God's work upon us. We are called to obedience. We are called to a lot of things in the Word, but none of them are necessary for salvation. None of them are necessary for eternity other than whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever believeth. The King James Version reads, whosoever believeth in him. Normally I prefer a more contemporary version, but this is the one who sticks in my mind. Whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Does that mean Korean people? Yes. Does it mean African American people? Yes. Does it mean the rich? Yes. Does it mean the poor? Yes. It means all people who place their faith and trust in him. Whosoever believeth in him. Does it mean the single, the divorced, the widowed, the married? Yes, it means all people. The word is clear in its breadth and in its power. Whosoever believeth in him. How is that possible with all the sin in this world? How is that possible? That is possible by Christ's finished work upon the cross. Yes, we are called to drop to our knees and to repent from our sins, to ask the Lord Jesus to be in our hearts. But only he knows us. There are people upon their deathbed who have asked Jesus into their hearts, and I believe I will see them in heaven. We are shocked every single day by some new and painful form of human evil. By some new way that the enemy has stirred up the pot and caused division and hatred against one another. I am struggling in this season to remember it is not flesh and blood that I contend with. I contend with the principalities and the powers of evil in the heavenly realms. And I have to ask Christ Jesus to take my mind captive unto him. In just a minute, we are going to sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, to take him only at his word. And his word says, whosoever believeth in him, he has promised us that he will not leave us, that he will be with us until the end of the age. He has promised to strengthen us in our inner being so that we can face the unfairness of life. And beloved, it's just going to get crazier. There is human evil. There is principalities and powers of darkness in the spiritual realms. And they are having a heyday with our world. And I hate it. It rips me apart. But I have to focus my mind on Christ Jesus and remember that it is him that I trust to help me get through these perils. It is him that I keep my eyes upon, and I do take him at his word.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, trust Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.